Hello and welcome to Stat News Global Podcast. I'm Nitin Gokhale. The recent victory of the DPP candidate William Lai in Taiwanese presidential elections has meant that China has been unable to get its way in trying to influence the Taiwanese society or the Taiwanese elections. What will it bring as far as tension between Taiwan and China is concerned? Will Xi Jinping step up his offensive both in terms of grey zone warfare and military offensive against Taiwan, or will he wait and watch and wait until the next presidential elections in the US takes place? That's the subject I discussed with two Taiwanese specialists who were visiting Delhi recently. Take a listen in. We have two special guests on the way from Taiwan, fresh from the election results in the country there, and visiting India on a tour of New Delhi alone. Two of the well-known think tankers, or you can call them analysts and commentators in Taiwan. To my immediate left, Ai Chung Lai, the president of Prospects Foundation. And to his left is Lin Fai Fen, who is the board member of the New Frontier Foundation based in Taipei. Welcome both of you for this program, and thank you for giving us your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So, like I was asking you, how do you see the election result?
Yeah, I think that although the William Lai, he got 40% of the vote, but we cannot subscribe to the theory that the other 60% of the vote, they are against the William Lai in the position, especially on the Taiwan-China and the Taiwanese identity. Because the third candidate, Ko Wen-je, coming from the Taiwan People's Party, he attracts a lot of youth votes, and the youth cast a vote for Ko Wen-je, not because of that they oppose the William Lai's position on the Taiwan-China relation, but they believe that Ko Wen-je speaks to their mind in terms of the issue they care the most, like the economy, the wages, the housing issues. Many of the youth, after the COVID hit in Taiwan, they found out that the living expenses, as well as the wages, is rise to a degree that when they're fresh out of the college, it will be difficult for them to find an adequate living jobs. So I think it is this issue they have, and also how they believe that the probably to them, to their mind, DPP already is in power for 8 years. So DPP needs to be responsible for all the problems they're facing right now. And Ko Wen-je will be the one that help them to charge through the race.
Right. Okay. But so the concerns of the young population, and what are their concerns? Of course, jobs as one. Mm-hmm. But how do you overcome this? How do you think the president-elect William Lai would sort of tackle this problem?
Yes, actually, during the campaign, the president-elect William Lai has been addressed his policies to the housing issues and wages issue in many different aspects. So we believe that while the current administration, the DPP administration, has been put a lot of energies in the subsidies for the younger generations. Mm-hmm. We are actually, in these past 8 years, we have been moving toward a more social welfare system, more social welfare country.
Right.
So we have conducted a lot of policies, for example, that we raise the budget for long-term care for the elderly, and also raise the budget for the younger generation, especially young parents, to raise their kids. And also we have the certain stipends for the students or the young workers that you're living in different cities and you want to rent a house, you need to rent a house, there's a subsidies for renting the house. So we have to do a lot of different aspects. And we this current administration, DPP administration, has put a lot of energy in building the social housing as well. And while the goal has been reached, the number hasn't been reached to our original setting. Mm-hmm. But in the future, Lai administration will definitely push forward for building more social housing and lowering down the housing prices, one of the top priority and agenda. So we believe that those policies can help us to attract young voters back. But however, there's indeed some challenges that in our parliament, that there is a hung parliament structure.
Right.
No single political party passed the threshold of a single majority. So definitely we face the challenges from the opposition parties. And now the current opposition parties and also the DPP party, then we need to figure it out who can be the speaker and also the vice speaker. So now it's under discussion. So we will likely to know the answers pretty much soon.
And we have 5 months to go before the inauguration happens.
Yeah, 4 months.
4 months.
4 months.
To go before the inauguration happens in May 2024, like that. But coming to you, Ajung Lai, to looking at the larger strategic picture, the United States is always a big factor, and so is China. And their rivalry also sort of plays on the minds of the people in Taiwan and the kind of pressures that come from there. How do you see the United States policy towards Taiwan now going forward, now that the election results are out and now you are likely to have a new president going forward?
I believe that probably the first thing that U.S. look at the presidential election result is that they come out with the sign of relief. Because many of this President Tsai Ing-wen, her policy for the defense reform, security, cooperation with like-minded states, including the United States, that has been called into question by the opposition president candidates, such as the KMT candidate Hou Youyi, and also the Kerwin's the third candidate, also from time to time talks about how Taiwan should keep an equal distance between China and the United States. So that apparently the winning for the William Lai, that represents the continuity of the defense and defense reform and security policy under the President Tsai Ing-wen. And that's something I believe that the United States is willing to see that will execute. And of course, people talk about how the Taiwan-China relation will get tense. And there are people arguing that Taiwan could be the flash point between the U.S. and China. Mm-hmm. But I have to say that right now, the whole opinion basically is that China is trying to change the status quo, and China up the ante in terms of military harassment against Taiwan. And not China just not only doing things for Taiwan, but also doing things against Philippines, for example, against Japan. So China is causing all the issue beyond Taiwan.
Right.
And so it's important.
And India too.
That's right. Yeah. So it is important for the country altogether, they could come out with joint positions. And that in that regard, Taiwan maintain the current courses will be critical for the United States.
Right. So coming to China's position, I'll come to you in a moment, but coming to China's policy towards Taiwan now that the results are out, is Xi Jinping likely to up the ante just in military terms, or will he also resort to some kind of economic coercion or some kind of other social engineering or social pressure within the Taiwanese citizens? What's your take on that?
I think right after the presidential election result came out, and that night, China's policy organ toward Taiwan, that's called China Affairs Office, came out with a statement and arguing that the William Lai, his electoral victory does not represent majority of people's views in Taiwan. Of course, that's we know that's a wrong interpretation, but that indicates that the China will continue its policy of harassment against Taiwan, even under the President Lai Ching-te. And also, it seems that Chinese position about not talking to Taiwan will be continued. Mm-hmm. So that I think the coercion and the intimidation probably will be the norm, and could be a little bit more intensive mm-hmm. and when the William Lai come in. But I think it's important to know that the China also under a lot of pressure in itself. Its economy, there's no way that it will see some resurrection of its momentum anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And the China desperately need a foreign investment. And so that is why last year in November, Xi Jinping went all the way to the United States and shake hands with Biden, mm-hmm. tried to stabilize the Taiwan-China and the U.S. relation, and begging for the U.S. investor to go to China. So that should China really try something more drastic military action or even the scale of the military intimidation like the one they did to Taiwan and after Nancy Pelosi's visit in year 2022, that would be the slap in the face to the President Biden and the assuring that Xi Jinping is not living to his words. Of course, we know that Xi Jinping has a track record of lying and his words. But this is a very specific and difficult time for China. So I would say that it really depends on how Xi Jinping look at the situation. But should Xi Jinping try something else, the consequence and the cost to him will be tremendous.
Which I think he will take into consideration if we look at it in the larger way. But let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. But coming to India-Taiwan relations and the southbound policy, which has been in vogue for some time, there was this issue about, a plan to have a mobility pact with, or labor pact with India, between India and Taiwan. What happened to that, and did it play some role in the elections?
Yes, during the elections, we are sadly to say, seeing that our opposition party actually utilized certain news between Taiwan and India, that basically saying that there was a plan that for Taiwanese government is trying to sign the MOU to open up our labor market for Indian workers. Well, that's under discussion, but hasn't come to the conclusion. But the opposition party utilized that to make an attack on DPP administration and basically spreading certain news and fake news. And China also played a part of that in this process and amplified certain views of the Indian workers. But to be honest, I believe that in the past couple of years, Taiwan and India has kind of trying to strengthen our bilateral relations and building ties, and based on the understanding and communication. But to be honest, that in Taiwan, there is still a lot of people doesn't really understand what's the situation in India. And also in India, not so many people are really understand what's going on in Taiwan Strait or Taiwan itself.
Right.
So it requires more dialogues and communication between both sides, and to also think, navigate how we can overcome this kind of splits or somehow the interference from China or some political force. So really requires more frequent dialogues and communications.
I can see that. But let me ask you, what are the hurdles, if you can identify them, in India-China having a trade pact, let's say? It may not be a free trade agreement, but a trade pact. And what are the areas in which India and China can really cooperate?
You mean India-Taiwan?
India-Taiwan, sir.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people are looking at how the India-Taiwan region can jump through the issue of the economy. And definitely Taiwan is also looking at India as a next major destinations. And some people in Taiwan even argue that the India to Taiwan, the economic importance will be just like next China, because China did play a part, although in my view, regrettably, about Taiwan's economic development. And India has a potential to be like that. But then I think despite all the hype about potential, it remains to be a potential. So that means something that needs to be done. I will say that the first thing is that for Taiwan investors to go to India, many of them they ask is that what will be the political commitment from the Indian side in working with them to realize the investment, especially a lot of the investors in Taiwan, they was start to ask questions. If the thing comes to the south, like there are the local issues, whether that's the electricity, the labor, and all those disputes, they want there will be the political commitment, not from the government, about willing to help them to navigate through those very difficult negotiations. And that they haven't seen that from India, especially like there are some limitations about the Indians' guest visit to Taiwan. Right now, we haven't seen any ministerial levels visit from India to Taiwan, despite Taiwan sending our minister again and again to India. And also, another very important angle is that the chief minister from the local province, because to Taiwanese investors, I'm investing in your area.
Right.
And so that I need to know that my investment is actually treasured by you personally. So the presence of those chief ministers to Taiwan and talking to those investors is a very, very dear criteria for those investors to judge that other than the economic necessity, the kind of the political commitment from India, would that be there?
Right.
And I also said, would like to say that another important thing is that the India-Taiwan could actually materialize a certain trade pact, although not in the name of the FTA.
Right.
But it is important to streamline and harmonize many of the smaller package into something that, that we know that symbolizes the in the commitment. And especially the when people talk about how the Taiwan goods to India enjoy the tariff reduction, would that hurt the local Indian market? Mm-hmm. But I would say that for every Taiwan investors, basically what we do is that we will ship those the semi finished products mm-hmm. in India and have a factory there to resemble and sell to other countries.
Right.
So that the trade pact, India and Taiwan side, you are not introducing a competitor in your local market.
Sure.
You actually strengthen your competitiveness against others in the external market.
Yeah.
And so that's how the, what Taiwan was able to be successful
mm.
because we want our cooperating partner to be successful. We want our trade partner to be successful because that is the way Taiwan can be successful.
It's a win-win for both. Right? A lot of heavy lifting is required, clearly. But there is a potential, like you said, it's a potential so far.
Mm.
Let us see how it gets translated into a real achievement going forward. But thank you very much, both of you, for your insights. And we hope that India-Taiwan relations will achieve greater heights in coming months and years going forward.